From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 31st day of March 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's USDA report day this morning. The United States Department of Agriculture released the annual prospective plantings report that tries to predict what farmers were thinking as of the first couple of weeks of March, what they expected to plant in acreage by crop for this season. They also updated the grain stocks number. That's a tally of what's actually on hand, both on the farm and off the farm, for corn, soybeans, and wheat. We'll talk with Lance Honig. He's the chief of the crops branch and responsible for both of those reports. And then a bit later in the program, we'll see how the market reacted. We'll do that with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Don Day will be here, too, to take a look at the weather forecast. And we'll wrap up with our weekly look at the agriculture energy sector for this Tuesday with Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State Extension, and we'll do it all on this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the settlement prices from the CME Group. May corn today down a half at 340 and three quarters. July at 346, a penny and a half lower. In December, down 2 1/4. It finished at 357 and a half. Next year's March at 368 and a half, 0.75 cents lower. May beans up 3 3/4. Settlement price there at $8.86. July 889 and a half, up 3. In November, soybeans, new crop, up 3 at 877 and a half. The January, 875 and a half, up 3 1/4. Bean oil, 14 cents higher. The bean meal down $4 even. July soft red winter wheat at 562 and a half, up 4 1/4 for the day. Live cattle futures in the April up $2.62 and a half at $101.82 and a half. The feeders for the April at $121.92 and a half, $1.87 and a half higher. And lean hogs at $52.20, down $1.75 for the day. Crude oil at $20.60, up 51 cents a barrel. Ethanol futures down 2 9/10 cents. And heating oil down 1 4/10 cents. Gasoline on the Arabob up, down 1 6/10 cents. It at 56 8/10 cents per gallon. And the financials showing the Dow up, down about 133 points. We're now joined by Lance Honig. He's the chief of the crops branch at USDA NAS and responsible for both the grain stocks and prospective plantings report released this morning. Lance, thank you for being with us here on the closing market report today. Some numbers that came out seem pretty good sized, actually. In the prospective plantings in particular, 96.99 million acres of corn, 83.51 million acres of soybean, and all wheat at 44.655 million acres. That 96, almost 97 million acres of corn was a big number. It was outside of the trade expectations. Most of those come from the survey. Do you do much fiddling with the numbers after they come in?
Well, I mean, it's all based, obviously, on the reports that we get from the farmers. We want it to be reflective of what their intentions are. We do a little bit of analysis to look back over history and how do the intentions they report in March compare to what actual plantings are at the end of the season. But in general, you know, as we say, they're based on those farmers' intentions. So effectively, you know, that's what the farmers told us, that they plan to plant 97 million acres of corn and 83.5 million acres of soybeans this year.
In general, and I don't know whether this is a general year or not, but how much do these change from now until the time we get the June 30 report?
Well, you know, it just depends, and that's one of the tricky things about the March intentions. So you know, these are their intentions as of the first 2 weeks in March, but they're truly are a lot of factors that can impact those decisions that actually get made. You know, we're talking about intentions before farmers in most places even get into the fields, much less start planting. There could be weather changes that happen. There could be shifts in the economic, you know, situation between crops that could have some impact. So it's really a year-by-year issue as to how much those intentions can change.
You know, the Ag Forum number was at 94 million. How much input do you have on that number, or how is it put together? And was that one brought forward from, I think, maybe the November timeframe?
Well, those early looks from the Ag Outlook Forum, those are not NAS numbers. This is the first NAS number for corn and soybean acreage for the upcoming season. So no, we don't contribute to those estimates. Those are based on other factors. They're going to look at economics, they're going to look at trends, they're going to look at even weather when they're putting those numbers together. And then the big difference is when we come into play here in March is we're actually talking to farmers and we're asking them, what do you intend to do? What are your expectations of acres?
What in the changes by state did you find of most interest or that are worth noting?
Well, I mean, I think, before we even talk about by state, I think what's really interesting is if you look at the principal crop total, some of the 22 major crops across the country, 319.1 million acres. Obviously, that's up, significantly from last year because we had all the planting problems last year. But it's nearly identical to two seasons ago. In fact, it's very close to what we saw every year from 2015 to 2018. So overall, the message there, I think, is that, as long as conditions allow, farmers intend to go back to overall the same level of plantings that they've seen in recent years. And as far as which crops those are going to be, obviously when we talked to them, they were leaning more toward corn than soybeans, maybe a little bit more so than what most folks saw. And I think if you look at the, state by state, whether it's principal crops, corn, soybeans, you look at those changes and really they're largely what you would expect to see after last year. You're seeing the biggest increases in the areas that had the biggest challenges last spring. And so obviously that's where, you would expect to see at least more of an increased intention. And hopefully we'll see better conditions this year and these intentions will be realized.
North Dakota would be the outlier there. They're down 8.6% in the prospective plantings report for corn acreage, although they're still trying to harvest corn from last fall.
Yeah, and you see a lot of fluctuation in North Dakota, obviously beyond just the last couple of years as well. And, the weather up there is just different. And even in a, quote, normal year, spring just really has a big impact on what they're able to plant. They've got a long list of crops that they can plant. They can switch pretty late in the process as well. And so it always looks just a little bit different up there than a lot of places.
From the grain stocks numbers, what did you find of interest?
Well, they really, if you look at what some of the pre-report estimates were, these numbers came in pretty much in line, a little bit lower, in fact, than a lot of folks were thinking. And I think that's a change from what we've seen in recent reports and recent news. So I thought that was a bit interesting.
The total number of 7.953 billion on hand, both on and off farm for corn, 4.45 for on farm and 3.499 billion bushels of corn off farm. Soybeans at about a billion on farm and about 1.2 off farm. When you look forward into the June numbers, and I don't know how much of an impact you can tell us about, but clearly what's happening in usage at this point with ethanol and the export market and how the country has been locked down, relatively speaking, should have an impact, I would think, on those numbers. Do you expect that to be the case?
Well, the beauty of the stocks reports that we do is that they're based on reported quantities on hand. That's what we have for the 1st of March. We actually went to the producers to find out how many bushels they've got stored. We went to the commercial facilities and asked them, what exactly do you have stored? We'll do the same thing in June. And so it's always going to be based on what's actually sitting out there on hand. We don't get into trying to speculate what that is going to look like because we're going to wait and we're going to actually measure it with the surveys of the producers and the commercial facilities. And so it will be interesting, certainly, though, to see what kind of impact it might have and what those stocks levels look like at the end of June when we publish the next grain stocks report.
Hey, Lance, thanks so much for taking the time with us on this busy day for you.
Hey, I appreciate it, Todd.
That's Lance Honig. He's the chief of the crops branch at USDA NASS. Now let's see what happened in Chicago at the CME Group and what perspective folks like Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities had on those numbers as they were released today. Hey, Wayne, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, it's good to be here, Todd.
Yeah, so I'm wondering first, Tell me about the prospective plantings number, because it was above trade expectations, I think. Actually, I know. And then the grain stocks number was down on the bottom or below trade expectations.
Yeah, it was a tale of two cities here today, sort of as we go along like that. You know, we'd heard anywhere in the 95 to 96 bracket on the corn, but that was on the high end of things on some of the private, like farm futures and a few of those. You know, but we were basically expecting what they said at the Ag Outlook meeting in February, around the 94 to 94 and a half, and the average guess actually figured at 94.32. And when you come at 97, why, that shocked the dickens out of a lot of people, especially after what's happened. I think Lance probably has told us that these were figures that were put together back before a lot of the coronavirus stuff was in here too that way. But I think we've maybe seen a little change in attitude. There might be a few more acres of beans and a few less acres of corn if they took the survey today.
In the same process, have you heard or talked to farmers? Have they been changing their mind about what their crop mix should look like because of COVID-19 and the crude oil price and the impact that's had on the ethanol industry?
I think the crude oil price, which has been very, very influential to the corn price, is going to change some minds. I think also as we look at the corn price being down here, all of a sudden that this is not a profitable level to plant an acre of corn. And I think we will see some acres switch to beans and probably to non-GMO beans, which sort of do have a bonus paid for those along the way. So, you know, some of that will change along the way. One of the things that was very interesting is looked at is the national level of all planted acres was the same as 2 years ago when you totaled the corn, the beans, and everything up is for the total acres that way. And that year we did have just about 2 million acres. It was 1.9 million acres of prevent plant. So, you know, we do, even just in a regular year, nothing like last year, of course, but in just a regular year, we generally have up to 2 million acres of prevent plant. So using these full numbers when we start figuring maybe isn't quite as damaging as it sounds.
What's the news from the day other than the prospective plantings and the grain stocks figures?
Oh, I think that as we look at the weather, we see some areas are drying out, but we're seeing a lot of the areas that are continuing to stay rather wet. The forecasts continue to show the southeast and the mid-south being continuous wet. You know, we suffered 3 inches of rain over here on Saturday along the way, so we're way behind on that. I think as we continue to see the Soviets, I think we did talk with them about the crude oil, and maybe we could get back to a little bit of level playing field. But we need the Saudis and the Soviet Union to sort of get off this kick of overproducing crude oil to get back in the idea that we can get our ethanol plants back open. But more ethanol plants, you know, if you're Blinden, they're going to go offline, I think, as of today. So that's going to cut back, and we were watching the basis levels fall quite heavily because of that.
And are they idling or going for complete shutdown for some retooling and maintenance?
I'm not 100% sure. The little note that was popped out by Cargill on their line was forwarded to me a text yesterday and says they're going down, and it didn't say whether it was total shutdown or whether it was just down for repairs.
They're just not taking corn.
They will continue to take corn as trains come in. Is their question. It says, check before coming because we'll be relying on trains for the next few weeks. So so they are going to a train market in essence instead of an ethanol market because their basis dropped sharply too.
Oh, that means it's coming in probably from the west. Interesting. I guess we'll have to talk about that sometime in the future and what that really means, I suppose.
Yeah, that has a lot to do with it. The wheat, though, as we look at it, some of the news, it was 327,000 acres below the average guess for the total wheat acres out there. And we continue to see a little strength in the wheat coming out of the bread and, you know, the Russia cutting back and saying that they would limit their exports for right now and keep so much wheat at home. So the wheat market, I guess, is the bright spot of anything out there as we look at the reports today.
Hey, thanks so much, Wayne.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities. Well, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, is traveling this week. But earlier today, he did drop me a little communique with an update of the weather forecast. Here's Don.
As we leave March and head into April, it looks the wettest in the south central and some southern areas of the plains. East Texas, East Oklahoma, East Kansas, Missouri, and Arkansas and Tennessee look to be the most wet. Also getting into Alabama, Missouri, and portions of Kentucky. Now, it's also going to be plenty wet with what looks to be anywhere from 1 to 3 inches of water across Illinois, portions of Indiana, southern and eastern areas of Iowa, as well as most of Minnesota. The eastern Dakotas look to get into the act as well. Now, we don't expect anything excessive, but the next week and a half looks wet in those areas outlined and over most of the Corn Belt, Midwest, and Northern Plains. It's going to be pretty cold for early April across the Northern Rockies and the Pacific Northwest and the far western areas of the nation. It'll be coldest in the west, warmest in the central and the east and southeastern areas of the United States. Temperatures below normal out west does mean that as fronts leave the west and head east, do expect bouts of severe weather over the next week or two across some areas of the Plain States and the South.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Well, each Tuesday we try to take a look at the agricultural energies, and Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University Extension now joins us. And I take it, Dan, that K-State, like the University of Illinois, is having most folks work from home. How's that going for you?
Well, pretty good. As long as I can keep the kids' rock concerts in the back down, we can talk on the phone. They're tied. You know, I got several kids home from college, from Minnesota and Kansas State, and if we have family togetherness now. It's a great thing.
Yeah, so do we. We played a family game last night, and it'll be the start of many, I'm quite certain, over the next several weeks.
That's right.
Let's talk about the agricultural energies. Ethanol has had a tough road to hoe here, as there are a couple of things happening, including this price of gasoline and of crude oil at $20 a barrel, which has just been crushing to the marketplace. How do you see it?
Well, we have to be careful about what terms we throw around in terms of demand destruction or whatever. I don't know if it's demand destruction so much as I hesitate to say exactly, whether it's a shift in the demand curve or where we're at. I would think from an economist's point of view that people aren't driving as much, and we probably have temporarily anyway shifted the usage demand curve back. To the place where we've ended up with lower prices. And of course, we've seen that now, and it's been reflected in the ethanol and RBOB prices that we're seeing again. As we talked here yesterday on the 31st, about 94 cents for ethanol, RBOB at about 58.5, something like that. Price ratio between those two, about 1.6. I know you and I've talked earlier about how that price ratio sure is far different from where we normally are, where ethanol is at a discount to RBOB. So we've got that, and you wonder about the factors affecting that. We have strong distillers grains prices. That's one bright spot in this whole thing. Is that what's holding up RBOB? Holding up ethanol prices relative to RBOB. No doubt that's part of it. I wonder personally about how the renewable fuel standard will play out and the blending, all these blending issues. So I guess that remains to be seen. I know when you do run the numbers through the models to see where we're at, that at least by my calculations, it looks like for the month of March, we've lost something about 40 to 45 cents per gallon coming out of ethanol plants. And we had been losing. We were doing great in January, February, losing about 25 cents. So for the whole month, and you have a month that's declining with the end being worse than that, looking at like a pretty tough time. And of course, following suit with the ethanol plant closures and all of that. So it's an industry that took a hard hit right now. And in the race to the bottom between corn prices on the input side and the sales prices on the other, again, ethanol on the one hand and the distillers grains on the other. So distillers grains are certainly holding up their end, but the weakness that's been displayed in ethanol prices has hit right at these plants. And we'll see. Todd, no doubt we'll see what Kansas, Illinois, and plants all between, which ones are most well-founded in terms of their ability to weather this financial storm that they're dealing with, and And it would be nice if coming into the summer, we saw some recovery in the economy, more movement of motor vehicles, et cetera, gasoline demand come back. If that all comes back into play, well, that would be on a positive. That'd be certainly positive, and anything would help for ethanol plants right now.
Jeff Cooper, who is the president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, was on the program yesterday. I recorded him Friday morning. He mentioned that the price of corn, and you mentioned this as well, or at least the price of corn, is at this point too high to make an ethanol plant profitable. What's that relationship like?
Well, I don't have the exact ratio at this point, but I could go into the models and I could drop that thing down to figure what that number is. And if we're at 340, 330, something like that right now for corn, do we have to get to? We probably are looking at something a lot closer to $3 or below to make all that go. And I guess I would tell people in the ethanol industry, unfortunately for the corn producer, to stay tuned. Again, coming up, we'll have stocks reports, we'll have prospective plantings, farmers doing their best to survive, trying to get maximum production, and who would doubt, given what we're looking at now in terms of the economic consequences of this current pandemic, that we could see corn prices moving to the lower side. And I wouldn't say Jeff Cooper is probably wishing for that, but the chances are very likely that corn prices could move lower to the place where we'd see ethanol plants at least move closer to break even.
And then finally, ethanol stocks had been very high. Have they been moving lower as plants have been idling or slowing down?
Well, by the numbers I've been looking at, when you compare ethanol production, ethanol stocks to where we were the last three or four years ago, during this month of March, we've been at, well, we're at highest levels of production. We were at the highest levels of production, highest levels of near highest levels of stocks that we've been in the last several years. So things were going great guns until, in terms of the production side, even with moderate losses, we had pretty strong stocks. And that's probably the worst recipe that we could see right now, to have strong productions, stocks being relatively strong, if not at strongest levels you've seen here of late, and then now to have the fall off in demand. So bad combination that just has to be worked through for these ethanol plants.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He is with K-State Extension. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.